Hey, everybody's way here. Well, welcome this morning to Grace Outreach Family Church. How about a beautiful day out there? It is. Yeah, if we could just keep it from going quite so low in the evening times. But it's good. I see it looks like that I examined you when you came in. You look like you're healthy and you're doing fine, and that's a blessing. We're so glad that you're here. Hopefully you are here today to receive something from the Lord. And already been in the presence of God as we sing and as we have praised, that God is already moving and striking a tone inside your heart that you can relate to. And right now, I'm going to ask Sharon Stanley if she'd come forward. She's going to talk to us a little bit about things we do other than just Sunday morning, things during the week. One of them is the women's ministry.
Thank you, Pastor Tommy. How about our praise team anyway? It doesn't matter if we have words, we still worship God anyway, right? Thank you all for coming out to worship today and giving God the first part of your week. You know, how many of you know God is good? You know, He's a good, good Father, even when we're not good. He's always good and He's always faithful. Praise God. So I'm Sharon, and I have the awesome privilege of leading our women's Bible study group on Thursdays. And we are growing, and that's a good problem to have. It's awesome. So we are just beginning our new study in the book of Acts, and this is our study book, and it's called Believing Jesus. Book of Acts. I bet some of you have never even read the book of Acts. I want you to know this is not a study on believing in Jesus. Even the demons believe and tremble, right? It's a study on believing Jesus. Acts implies action, right? In other words, it's believing Jesus and acting on those beliefs. And as you do, as you make a choice to do that, and I did that years ago, things drastically begin to change in your life, and your life will never be the same. I want to make a strong statement, and I want y'all to really listen to this. Jesus didn't die to just make us safe and comfortable, but to make us dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Yes. And we want to be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. I'm sick of darkness. Are y'all sick of it? Yes. Last year, we did the armor of God. Now we're ready to act, right? So, have you ever wondered, some of you, why was I even born? Or wonder what God's will is for my life. Or why was I born in this generation? And I want you to ask yourself this question. After I'm gone from this earth, and we all have an expiration date, okay? How will my life have impacted others and the kingdom of heaven? Because really, when it comes right down to it, that's all that matters. And I know that we have a large group of women because they're hungry to have these answers and they're hungry to be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And that's what we're going to do. So even if you've never been in a Bible study before, it doesn't matter. If you've never picked up a Bible before, it doesn't matter. We love new students, and we're all there to learn different levels of maturity, which is great because we help each other. It's not just to gain more knowledge. It's to get to know our Creator, because let's face it, we're going to meet Him, and we want to know Him before we meet Him, right? Yeah. Yes. So we take our time. We don't go fast through the study. That gives plenty of time for questions and discussion, and you get answers. So there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. If nothing else, just give it a try. You may absolutely just want to come back. And also, pray about inviting someone. They might just say yes. I can promise you this. You will be blessed. And we meet on Thursdays from 6:30 to 8:15 every Thursday. And like I said, there's a sign-up sheet. Put your contact info. I will get in touch with you, give you more details. God bless you. Hope to see you Thursday.
All right. Thank you, Sharon. And Sharon, just so you know, there are boxes that are in the back, more of your books. Yes. Okay. Okay, so that's a Thursday evening at 6:15 to 8:15. And so we also have a men's Bible study, which is right out here. So the ladies are using the very large room that is behind the platform here. And the men meet here, same time. We start promptly at 6:15 and end at 8:15. That way you can get home. Is it still summertime? No, kids have started back. So you're going to have to do kids' homework and stuff, supper. You know how that works. So you'll have time to be able to do that. And then David Enlow, I'm going to ask if you'd come forward. David's going to pray over our tithe and offering, but he also is facilitating the men's Bible study, which is Timothy, 1 Timothy.
Yeah, 1 Timothy, and we're having a good time in it. Last week, chapter 4, we talked about qualifications of leaders in the church, and this Thursday night we're going to be doing chapter 5, which will be how does, and this is Paul's advice to Timothy on how to deal with people in the church, you know, and how to treat them properly. So anyway, it's fun, and I encourage all the men to be there. And we're a little quiet and reserved, of course, just like the ladies. and so we get to go as long. When the ladies are done, then we have to stop. So exactly on time, right, Tommy? I just want to say I had a blessed week. Thursday, I got to have lunch with my 20-year-old granddaughter. She's my oldest granddaughter, and I was blessed. We get together every couple of months and spend some time together, and that was Thursday, and Thursday evening, the Bible study. So it just tells me how blessed and how important our family is, and also how important our church family is, and I was really blessed. And then Friday morning, for some reason, I woke up early, and I decided to go to a prayer meeting down at Fitzhugh Baptist Church, which is about 12 miles south where I live, and I was blessed there. There was a speaker, God of Hope Ministries, and they minister in the Travis unit and in the Bastrop prisons. It's a prison ministry, and they shared with, you know, there's a lot of work going on with God working within Bible studies and time in the prisons, and there's some real challenges there because the prison population keeps increasing, and there's a lot of young people getting throughout our country. There's like within the prison ministry, within the prisons within the United States, there's like 2.3 million incarcerated people, and that is a lot, and that is really increased. So, but that God of Hope Ministries, it's Romans 15:13, and God is our hope. So, anyway, let's. I want to pray for the offering, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do praise your wonderful name, and we just thank you for that we're your children, that we have this personal relationship with you. And I just pray your blessing on each of the people here this morning and their families, and just guide us and give us the strength we need to face each challenge each day. And I know we have many on our prayer list, and we believe in prayer, and you're in charge, and we're just praying for your guidance and your strength in all we do. Bless this offering this morning. Just bless this gift as it goes forward to help this ministry and help us reach out to the community, and bless the giver and their families, and watch over and protect them as I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, David. The ushers will pass the offering. The children are dismissed to go to the kids' church today. They have a lot planned for the kids. I appreciate the leaders, the teachers, those that help out. You know, when you're a teacher, it takes a lot of preparation time, right? And then on Sunday mornings, it's kind of like the school principal, you know. He didn't really want to go to school. You don't want to go to school. And so his wife says to him, you have to. You're the principal. So, you know, sometimes it's that way with teachers. Teachers get up on Sunday morning, they're like, oh, I want to do so good. So they put in a lot of work for your kids. So I just want to say, if you have children or grandchildren that are in our kids department back here, they're learning about the Bible, Bible stories, and things about Jesus. So be sure to ask them that. I think I'll move this up. And then the last announcement is, it's this Tuesday night that we have prayer. Am I right, or am I just praying a lot, right? Yeah. It's already been a week. So this Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m., we have prayer right here. And how this works is I set up these chairs kind of like a double circle instead of it just being like this. So we're just in kind of a big double circle. So there's a circle and there's another one around that. And as we meet here, some of us just pray. We pray for many things. We pray for the people that are in the church, people that we know that need prayers. Some that come, they want prayer themselves, which is great. And there's great power in that. And I tell you, we had a lot of people last week, and if I'm not mistaken, week four last, I think 8 of them were men. So I appreciate you men reaching out for God. And so if you just want to come and see what that's like, it's not that you have to pray out loud or anything. No one's going to call on you. Be here to observe what's going on. But also, if you have needs, that's a time to come out and have others pray for you. It'll change your week. It will be affixed to the things that are coming against you in this world, trying to take you down. All right. So before I begin, there are some that are here. Not him. Not that. That's not the one I was talking about. There are some that are here this morning, and you're going through some things. And before I even begin my message, I want to pray for you. Okay. So several of you have already spoken to me, and then some I've received a prayer request. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, the word that is going to be spoken, we pray, Lord, that it would move us in our hearts. But, Lord, I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to be here in full power and strength. I pray, Lord, that by your mighty hand that we can be alert and be able to grab hold to the things of God so that our ears, though our human ears, the things that we perceive, Lord, are of the Spirit, and they bring change to our mortal minds and change to even the way that we think. And I pray, Lord, for those that are here, faith and healing. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that your power would go taking the heavy burdens off those that are here, healing those that are not able to be here, some that are in the hospital. I pray that where they are, that healing would be unto them. And just quicken our spirits, Lord. No oppression, no depression will be in this house, for this is your house. It is a place of freedom. It's a place of prayer, of praise, and of worship, and of teaching of your word. So, Lord, I thank you for these divine things that will move us over the next little bit, Lord. And leave here with us when we leave. In Christ's name, amen. All right, if you have a bulletin, on back of the bulletin is an outline of today's message. Weed deeds, that's what I call it. Weed deeds. If you've ever tried to plant something out in this area, you know that you're going to have to fight. Your grass is going to have to fight. Your crops, your vegetables, whatever it is, are going to have to fight the weeds. And you'll find yourself out there fighting and rooting for that grass that you have and for the fruits and vegetables and things that you have planted. Because you have to just reach in there and tear them up, pull them out. And you can't just break them off. No, that's too easy. And somehow weeds are created to where you can't get to the root of things, right? When you try to get a weed, it just kind of breaks off. That way the roots are still there and it grows up real strong. So it is in the Bible we're going to read from the book of Mark on how weeds, how the Texas heat, how the stony places, it's like Jesus was right here in Spicewood when he wrote this, how the seeds are affected and how they grow. And he's speaking in a parable, which is a story illustrated to us so that we can understand the things that he's trying to tell us that are spiritual. So he'll use natural things to explain spiritual truths. Parables are a breakdown of examples of spiritual truth. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to try to read that as much as I'm able. So weed deeds, the knowledge of spiritual seed. Jesus is speaking here. Many of you have heard of Jesus tell the parable of the four soils. And it was a farmer who went and he would sow by hand seeds. So he had a bag that was strapped to him full of seed. And he would You know, this is a long time ago, so they didn't have all this kind of equipment that even would line things up in a row. They would just literally in a field, they would spread and try those seeds and try to grow what it was that they were growing. And they would take chances. As they're doing it by hand, if you've ever tried to seed grass with your hand or anything like that, as you throw those seeds, sometimes they go even a little further, which you're trying to get the grass, in a sense, to the rocks, but, you know, it won't really survive around the rocks. But you're spreading it around. Now, these four parables, they're speaking to us in deeper levels. The first one, it could be of us sowing seeds of righteousness, are being an example by the way we live our lives, demonstrating truths and the light of God in us. It could also be four ways or phases in a person's life that we go through. So I guess we can say we're going to take this to the individual level today. And we're going to see exactly how good that we are or receive instructions on how to plant the seeds that God is calling us to. We're going to first see that the farmer sowed on a stony footpath. Second was a shallow soil, and it had rot beneath it. You're following me with that, right? Yeah. How many has ever tried to dig in this local area around here? Okay. You know those that have soil, what a big deal it is to have soil, because usually it's only about that much. And you'll have to have a pick, and in case it's a jackhammer, to get something stuck into the ground. And so that's the shallow soil with rock beneath. And then there are the thorns, in which I mentioned. It's a competition that's going on out there. And then there are some things that ring the bell. Naturally, you're going to plant some seeds, and they're going to go on fertile ground. And on the fertile ground is what you and I are trying to do with the message of Christ and the example in our life. We are, in a sense, trying to live ourselves among many in a field and allowing them to not only believe, but so others would also believe. So it is a transformation. It is a sowing. It is a growing. It is a reaping. And it turns over. So you understand naturally and the spiritual part of this. So here we go. Mark chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. I start here because I like to keep things in context. Scripture says, "Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got into a boat." Are you with me? "Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on shore. And he taught them by telling many stories and forms of parables, just like this one." Jesus was a people person. It's just, you know, when people are crowding you out, if you can get back a little bit, he had a plan. This had happened before, it tells me. And so he had a boat ready. And as people kind of come crushing in around him, he pushed out just a little bit so he could kind of amplify his voice and be able to talk to many instead of a few. An important note to make, Jesus is trying to speak to many and not just a few. Verse 3, Jesus says, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it." Verse 5, "Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow." Verse 6, "But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died." Verse 7. "Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain." Verse 8. "Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much than had been planted!" Exclamation mark. Then he said, Jesus, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Listen and understand is a big part of knowing our Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 3 of this same scripture, the first thing he said was, listen. There was some instruction. Some of your translations say, hearken, which means, please understand. That's in verse 3. And he ends in verse 9 with having ears to listen and to understand. So I'm going to pause here for a second. I want to demonstrate this, but this is how it works. It's not awkward. But I'm going to not talk for a moment, nor pray. And in that, I'm going to ask that the Lord would speak to us, or in a sense, get the grounds ready to understand. All right? So Lord, speak to us now, I pray. And we're listening, Lord. Okay. I would spend more time, as much time listening as I would praying. You'll know his voice. You will not miss his voice. In John, it speaks that Jesus knows our voice, and we know his. I know it seems crazy for some because they think they cannot hear God's voice, but you can. And I want to reiterate, you will not miss his voice. Jesus pushed off the shore so he could amplify his voice, so he could view and be able to speak. If he has truths, he wants to share them with us. That's waiting. You come here, you hear truths from the minister and stories about how good God is or about our Savior in the music. But it's not the quiet time. The quiet time is what you and I do outside of here. Jesus said, listen and understand, have ears to hear. Let's not rush the Lord here. Now, some of you, we're probably asking the Lord to forgive you of certain sins. Okay, I'm glad that you had that talk with God in doing that. That's good, because when you listen, sometimes the word is repent. Somehow you're feeling the Lord's heart. I didn't do that right, God. Now, when he forgives, we must move on. Okay, not remain sorrowful. Because God is a good God. He has grace and mercy. It's put in the equation. Some of you went to maybe a begging level for God to do something because you were desperate. God is able. Nothing is impossible for God. Your situation that you're going through is not necessarily, though it may be hard maybe to the person next to you, nothing is too hard for God. He hears our prayer. He understands. And when we listen or when we pray, he's faithful to be able to heal us, to forgive us. Amen. All right. Just want to let the Lord pushing through on that. All right. Verse 10. I want to back up. That anyone with ears to hear should listen and have understanding. The words of Christ demand attention. Even that which we understand, so that thoroughly we may understand it. So in other words, I'm going to rephrase this, but it's the same thing. The words of Christ, they demand attention. Even that which we thoroughly understand, even though you may not understand it completely. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so you had one car and you got another car. You know, to drive that car is going to be similar to driving most cars, right? There's going to be some differences, but you adjust as you do it, right? Especially if it's a much nicer car than what you had before. You can adjust pretty quick. Okay, this is really good. I mean, later you can't figure out how to sync your phone or anything in it, but it takes some time and things will be working out. So it is with understandings and truths of God. As you work them, pray, try to be thorough, whether you understand or not, it merits the Spirit to be able to move and to impress, imprint upon us the path, the way to go. All right. So later, in verse 10, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who gathered around, you think you're confused, right? Okay. They asked him what the parable meant. So they heard the same parable as what I just explained to you. I explained to you a little up front, so you would just know about the stones, and so you'd know about the thorns, and so you would understand what fertile ground is. But after they said this and they got together, you know, I just wanted to say, I enjoyed that teaching today. Can you explain it to me? And I'm sure Jesus was like, look, I brought it already all the way down to a parable. I didn't just speak the truth, couldn't handle it. I brought it down to a parable, and I explained it, and I explained it pretty thoroughly. And yes, and it was so good. I learned a lot, but I think there's more. And that's exactly how it is. There's your thoroughly. Okay? Jesus said in verse 11, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. It was very important that Jesus lay out a pattern, because in a pattern of how things were once spoke through prophets and kings, it was important that they come to fruition so that those things could validate and verify the truths of the Bible and who Christ was. So, verse 12, he did this so the scriptures might be fulfilled, and he went back to Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. Speaking to outsiders on this. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. 13. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how can you understand all the other parables? So he goes to explain in the parable with a different approach. And it's true, right? We have to understand more parables. We need to know exactly what they're broke down to do. 14. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So, as farmers, who is it? It's us. We're the farmers. And we are to take the truths of God simply to others. Now remember, they may not understand. That's what Jesus just got through saying. They may not learn anything. Because if they did, they'd turn to him and be forgiven. Well, Lord, if they're not going to believe you, then how are they going to believe us farmers that go out with those same truths? Okay. Now, the understanding of it. 15. The seed that fell on the footpaths represent those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. So it is true. No need a show of hands. You know people that have heard the message and that they accepted the Lord, but then catastrophe happened in their life, are ramping up their old friends, or stronger influences, probably that many people have had before this experience with Christ. And then Satan just comes and nabs that person. This is for our understanding. This is more for our understanding than it being even us. But it could have been us in seasons of our life. Y'all say amen. So you understand, you got it. I don't want to say something and then you're not going to be following. Okay. 16, the next one. The seed on the rocky soil, it represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Ah, praise the Lord. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. It's a little different than somebody just going, oh, this is really good. I just love this. This stuff's kind of popular, actually, right here. I think I'm going to tell my friends I'm a Christian. And then Satan drags them away. Then, naturally, the next one is that they hear the word of God, but their roots don't go down. There is a reason why this is important. As farmers, you and I, with the truths of God, have to make sure that we help others grow deeper roots into the ground. Discipleship would be a word. Spending time with another. It'd be great as a church family if everyone knew each other, which I think we're about there on that. But where you have two or three people that are close to you in the church, and we help each other's encourage one another so our roots grow down. That way, when persecution comes and problems come, we are not snatched away. I tell you, it is a night and day difference when you're just being persecuted and things aren't going your way, and someone will come up and just put a hand on your shoulder and just tell you, listen, brother, we think a lot about you and our family. You're good people. And if there's something that you need, let me know. I mean, if it's in my power, I'll certainly help you out, but I can see things are going different, because that's probably what it is in here. We probably know enough about each other to be able to discern when that person is going through something. As that person is going through something, there's an acknowledgement of that, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, giving you the ability to discern one's heart, not to know all the stuff, but something's wrong. What happened? Sometimes you just know immediately, come here, let's pray. I know sometimes people don't even have the words, but they don't want to tell you the story either. You know, they've already said the story to many. No good. And now they don't even have words to pray. They really don't even want to pray. So you have to know those too, we as a family. So we grab their hands and let me just pray for you a moment. Lord, here's something we don't understand, but we know that you're all powerful. Help my brother, my sister right now. Help their faith to grow. I pray, Lord, they won't lose hope. We're not giving up, God. We're praying here together, and that means something. Okay, so the roots need to grow deep. If not, it is a guarantee both believers and non-believers will be hijacked, so to speak, by being persecuted. We're talking about family members. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you become super unpopular with your family, rejected in many ways. You're now the strange one in the family. It's not about black and white sheep anymore. They're, I don't know what you are, okay? And that can be very disheartening. And I want you to know that it's intentional that the Grace Outreach has family church in the name. Because we are family, okay? We could just be a church, but I think it should be a family church. A place where church identifies us as a people of God. Grace, because there is grace with the Lord Jesus Christ. We use the Word of God to preach these great truths. The outreach is what we learn as farmers and go into the field. Verse 7.
Am I there? No, no, I'm on the 7. Now, 17, I was saying that. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems and or persecuted for believing in God's word. And then finally, 18. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lures of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. This should be flashing right here a little bit. Be on guard. Remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about God in Exodus in chapter 20. I'm a jealous God. I think you should know that about me, he says. God, I thought you were supposed to be perfect, and jealous is not a good thing. No, because the origin of jealousy meant God loving us, and he was not going to allow anything to get in front of that. So he was a jealous God. If we are jealous toward things, it ends up becoming sin for us, because God's jealousy that he has for us is connected directly with love and for him. If we become jealous of another, that turns into a dysfunction. We've got to develop trust. But when Jesus says, I'm a jealous God, he is saying just exactly, it's this soil right here represents. I don't like it when there's other gods before me. I don't like it when people like the things that are in this world. And they look, you know, you can develop, people, we know this. We can develop our own value that we love something that is in this world, that it means an incredible amount to us. I mean, we can, wow, it's, what did it say? The lures of wealth. Ah, if I just had a little more. And maybe that's all you're praying in real true, like just a little bit more. But if that starts getting in the way of you having a little bit more versus the faith of what you, so some believe they have to have money in order to be a blessing to others. Wrong. Oh, you just be a blessing to others. The Lord owns everything. Okay, so let's go through this for just a second. This is the same thing. All too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of this life. When I read this, I liken this to like a social media today. A little mark. The worries of this life. Now, I don't have a Facebook page that I navigate on. I guess it's still there. I just put my name and photo up there. In a sense, if anybody was checking on me, well, there you go. You know, I didn't have to explain much. It's there. That I don't mean as pastor. I just meant, you know, others wanting to, here I am. That's what I look like. That's who I am. I do a little of this. I don't communicate with it. And now, it's okay. I think everything needs to be in moderation, people. I do. But I want to say that that's how that worked. But many people have come to the other side of moderation where it's not normal. And when people kind of speak to you or ugly to you or say things that they even just a hand sign, you know, not like, I guess this is really what that's trying to say, that it bothers you. You know, you're asking for worries in your life to build up if you go by that. When I found out that it was about people liking you, you know, or this, I couldn't believe it. Well, people in my life, if they didn't like me, they harshed on me. You know what I'm saying? And they did it face to face. And, you know, it caused me to, okay, all right, take it easy. You know, it was that FaceTime. So we didn't just go around with a million people doing this or that. It said, if you had a problem, boy, it made it to the front, all right, and you need to deal with that best able, and hopefully nobody get hurt. But many times in this world, the worries, we allow the things to worry us. If you have somebody that is like a boss that is corrupting your world, so to speak, is it sinful in what they're asking? Then you need to pray and ask God to deliver you from that, or for God to be able to many won't believe this, but I'm going to say, I pray for people that need change in their life. What do you mean? You just pick them? No, I pick it by the fruit. That's who I pick to pray for. If these things are not lining up, if they're controlling, if they're evil, if they're not kind, if they have no self-control, and they're steering me in that direction, I can't do that. So I pray for that person. I would be willing to quit my job. I'd like to have a plan, but I would be willing to even quit my job should it come down to it, because I don't need those kind of worries in my life. Cindy and I's love, for example, another one, husband and wife, more than 30 years that we've been married. There was a time when things got kind of loud, shouted. It was mostly Cindy, which probably means that was my fault. No, it's just I didn't like to fight back, because I was just like, no need in really doing that. And then that was another fight, because you're not understanding and getting it. And then I'm trying to know. Surrender, like, let's get right. Okay, so through the years, that used to be the kind of the thing. In time, we realize, what are we doing? Cindy realized, you know what? The things that I was upset over, they really didn't matter that much. And she learned, like, leave me a post-it note or something, you know, about things. Or when we were out, she would just, in a conversation, we would tell each other that bothered us, or please be careful at this, and okay. Wow, things sure got a lot of easier in time and knowing when we both had the understanding of, you know, we're creating havoc and worry that is needless. Now, if you got teenagers, people, I don't know what to tell you, right? Except pray. There's not going to be kind of that understanding. It's going to be, okay, you know. All right. So to stick to the scripture, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. Crowded out. My sons are in ministry, so they're 25 years younger than I am. I pray for them because they have too many voices telling them what's God, what's not, what's acceptable, what we're going to do, what everybody else is doing. And it's confusing in a sense. It's like anytime you stand for something, you're going to rock someone's boat. Well, guess what? You've got to stand for something. And others' boats will be rocked. It's not our intention of doing that. It is just what occurs being a Christian. Why do you said earlier in the Bible, when Jesus in the same parable was saying, you know, when people are going under tribulations and are persecuted, boom, they're out of there because that's Satan. The other one was their roots aren't deep. So we have to help people to stand, encourage them in their faith. It's not everything you have to know. It's just you need to know a few things you're supposed to do. And stand on those things, and God will multiply. Going right into this now. In verse 20, now the seed that fell on the good soil represents those, here it is, who accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted! So this is the words of Christ. And those who hear and accept God's word will produce a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much. Look at the words before it. Those who hear and accept God's word. So when we're throwing seeds, seeds scatter. Am I right? We want to keep them in the fertile ground where the seeds will probably produce the most results. But who knows? I've seen tomatoes grow in crazy places before. Have you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I've been at a commercial parking lot, walked by and was like, what is that? That's a tomato bush. I mean, you know, tree. It's not a tree, but, you know, it's a vine growing tomatoes on it. Nobody nurtured it. Nobody do anything. It was probably somebody's something in tomato sandwich thrown on the ground. The next year it become a little tree, you know, a vine with tomatoes on it. So the people that do hear us, don't focus on those who don't so much. You're scattered. You're a farmer. What is your job? You scatter seeds. You scatter seeds. Some don't like that seed. Take that seed back. Well, okay, well, I don't know how to take the seed back, but I mean, you know, it is exactly what I feel is best for my life. I'd love for you to be in on that. So scatter the seeds. Now, here's the thing. Some of you scatter these seeds, and then someone of you are going to come right back, and you're going to scatter seeds over those areas that are kind of, you know, rocky or not very good. And someone else is going to scatter some seeds, and somebody is going to catch one of those things growing and be able to take it in its roots down, or take that plant and relocate it to a better place where it can stand to live and multiply even better. You see, God has been good to us. We have a field. We have a fertile field. Jesus is saying that it's not just a field in the world, that it's a fertile field. It has the nutrients. It's been tilled by God. It's not the first time when you go to them that they've ever heard what you're saying, because there's been a lot of farmers out there. But when you do that and other people know about it, the truth, and it saves their life, saves their soul, adds benefit, gives them a solid foundation, is what we said last week. Because we've, in a sense, taught people the truth of building on the foundation stone of Christ Jesus, in which all stones are built upon the firm foundation, which create a structure, a shelter, a place of worship, a place where you're no longer rejected. Amen. Then Jesus wants to nail this through a little bit. Then Jesus asked, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or a bed? Would anybody do that? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand, okay, where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Boom, 23. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. If a lamp doesn't help people see, it's not a lamp. We are also the light of the world because Christ is showing through us. Some of us feel unworthy, or we have disqualified ourselves based on our self-knowledge or what we think God wants us to be, tucked away. And we couldn't be more wrong. For no one puts a light or a lamp under a bed or puts a pillow on top. It goes on the stand, not high in position. It goes into its proper place so that others can see the light and benefit from knowing the path. Last verse, I can speak it. It's on your bulletin, maybe on the PowerPoint. 2 Corinthians 9:10. So I close with this, drawing these great truths together. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. See the provision for us? In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. It's the things that God feeds us, cause us to do these miraculous things. He feeds us truth. He puts His Spirit within us to cause increase in our lives to accomplish these things. Farmer is not a bad job after all. It has the ability to feed many, to demonstrate many lessons, and it's relatable to others. Let me pray. I thank you, Lord, that as we are here as people, you've already heard the many prayers. Good sense, many people even praying during the message for certain things. I pray, Lord, that that seed comes to fruition too. The request, not only themselves, but for others. Some wanted to know more truth. Some wanted to draw close to you because they have felt farther away. But the truth is that you love us all and you care for us. You see us when we lie down. You see us when we wake up. You see us, Lord, no matter the location, whether it be somewhere very high or somewhere very low, you see us and we see you, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that we as your children, in particular, Lord, us as a people here in this church that you joined together, can be great farmers, to understand it, that it bring us happiness, Lord, and joy, and doing things that you've asked us to do, so that it would make us healthy, even in our physical bodies, so our minds, Lord, would not wander and not be confused, but, Lord, that our minds can be sober, can be clear. The things that we do are not things that would bring us back anxiety. It's things that bring us back purpose. And it's a sacrifice, a pleasing sacrifice to you. Another part of Scripture says, the things that we do create like a sweet aroma. And Lord, to get that kind of incense to burn, they would crush it. And Lord, I pray that you would crush our hearts so that we can be the humble people that you can set the flame to. So that it be a sweet and satisfying fragrance unto you. So I pray, Lord, purpose would arise within us. Let your spirit arise within us. Let our faith grow. Let our attempts be great, God. Great meaning not something we think we can do, but bigger than that. Oh, and I trust your grace and your mercy. I pray that each one of us begin to understand what that means for us. The grace and mercy is for our attempts, Lord, to go out further than before. You protect us, Lord, both in the day and the night with that same grace and mercy. The Bible says that you put your angels in charge of us, Lord. So I pray in the name of Jesus that we would be a people that physically are healed, that we have vitality in our body, Lord. I pray that not even the joints of our body would hurt, not the backs, rid ourselves of headaches. Anything that anxiety would even try to cause, because that's not the spirit of God. Lord, we rebuke those anxieties. And what we should do, and I don't know how to do it, that's gone. For thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. And we walk that with faith and no fear. Lastly, I know some of us are praying for some that are lost or they're running and it's chaotic. I'm glad we're here. So go get them, God. Go get them with your mighty hand. Bring them. Calm them. Give them some comfort, Lord. Stop their feet from running. Allow some, Lord, to be crushed to the humble mat, through the humbleness, Lord, in which they could be used of you. Stop the loss. Stop the pain that is occurring in their life. And draw us to you.